Congregation, young people, what would you think? What is the most spectacular sin in the Bible? We are all sinners. We all make mistakes. We are all dead in sins. But most spectacular, horrific. What is the most heinous sin in the Bible? I would say it's the sin of Judas. Being so close to the Lord Jesus. Got a friendship. One of his dear ones at the table, at the Lord's supper table. Quite a relationship to the Lord Jesus. He betrayed him with a kiss. Horrible. How deeply painful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the Lord is in charge. Yet nothing happened by chance. It was all included in God's plan. It's hard to understand. Impossible to understand, I would say. And yet, he was responsible. He was 100% responsible for what he did. But it had to happen. He had to betray the Savior. Was in God's counsel. But yet, the Lord in charge. And he responsible. And we fearing and trembling. The text is from Luke 22, the verses 21 through 23. Luke 22, the verses 21 through 23. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. So far. So one would betray Jesus. Three thoughts. The decree of Jesus' betrayal. Is secondly responsible for Jesus' betrayal. And in third place, a question, who would betray him? So one would betray Jesus. The decree of Jesus' betrayal was decided upon in the council in eternity. A second responsible for Jesus' betrayal. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And in the third place, the question, who would betray him? And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Congregation, first the context. It was on Wednesday. The feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, was only 2 days away. The Passover feast. Remember Passover? To skip? To pass it over? So the angel of the Lord skipped some houses where the blood was on the doorpost. He did not enter there. He skipped those houses. Passover. Well, it was that time. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. That was the right timing. Three things about that. It happened. This is history. This is not just a myth. It's something that happens in this time on earth. But the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, was in complete control as well. It had to happen at his time. On the day of Passover, the Lord Jesus was supposed to be crucified. And so the Lord fulfilled the Passover feast. So the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were upset and disturbed, and they sought how they might kill Jesus. And that was not easy, to find an opportunity to do so. Well, they could do it, but it would be an uproar because the people loved him. So to do that secretly, at night or so, in a corner of this world, somewhere people will notice it. It was hard. They're looking for an opportunity, but they don't know how to go about it. But they sought to kill him. The religious leaders of the people of Israel were trying to kill Jesus. He did them only good. He helped them, he comforted, he instructed, he healed. And they want to kill him because of their reputation, because of their evilness. And then entered Satan, verse 3, into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Satan entered into Judas, kind of influenced him. Got control over him, although he was still responsible yet himself. But Satan entered in, and Satan is reality. Satan was involved in this. Satan is the left hand of God, Luther said. And Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. We don't know what Iscariot means. It's his surname. Probably something like Iscariot, meaning the man from Cariot. We don't know. And then Judas, after Satan entered into him, he went. See him going through the streets of Jerusalem, probably at night, in secret. And he looked for the people, Sanhedrin of the Jewish leaders. He went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. How is it possible? And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. So they made a deal. We pay so much, and you tell us where we can find him, so we can kill him, capture him, kill him, without the people knowing it. And he promised. He promised, verse 6, and he sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. And then there's a new piece in this chapter about preparing the Passover meal. John and Peter are sent out to prepare the meal. And there is a piece in this chapter about sitting at the table of the Lord Jesus with his disciples, Judas included. And the Lord Jesus breaking the bread with them, this is my body broken for you. And Judas took a piece and ate it. And he passed the cup of wine and he drank it as well. Quite something. And then they had the Lord's Supper. There was a table talk. So the Lord Jesus still at the table after the Lord's Supper. He was still sitting there with his beloved ones on that Friday evening and had a few topics, a few things to say. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. So the Lord Jesus knew. He was completely aware of it, that his betrayer was at the table and that Satan was at work in his heart. Oh, Satan is such a reality. Do we still believe that? The liar, the betrayer, conceiving people, deceiving people. Well, he's a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour also today. To capture people, he likes to come as an angel of light, or comes more boldly, that he likes to kill people. He is looking at you, at me. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy you as well. He wants to kill us. That's his aim. And he uses people and nations, and he uses a disciple. Can you believe it? Well, therefore we read that we must resist. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaling lion, walketh about seeking whom may devour, whom resist. Resist him. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we see Judas sitting at the table and having in mind to betray Jesus as soon as possible. Satan being involved. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. As it was determined, the Bible says. And determined, that's a word that you know. Horizo. You know what the horizon is? That's a set boundary. It's a line, the horizon. That's the appointed line. And so the Lord had appointed. He had appointed Judas. That's the word. Same word as in Acts 17, verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. That same appointed. Horizon. So it was appointed. It's appointed for men to die. And it was appointed for Judas to betray him. It had to happen. It was foreknown and decided upon in eternity. Same word as in Hebrews 4 again. He limiteth a certain day, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice. So don't think it was a surprise to Jesus that Judas was going to betray him. No surprise. It was even a desire in the heart of the Lord Jesus to go this way. He said to his disciples at a table that he had a great desire to eat his supper with them. It was a burning love in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price and to be betrayed and to be handed over and to be crucified. It was his will. It was his will. It was the will of the Father, the will of the Son, the will of the triune God. It was determined. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. Let me just elaborate on that. About on eternity. And God's decree. And if everything happens according to God's will. Even if something is such a heinous sin as this is, the most horrible sin you can think of, betraying the most worthy Son of God, infinitely worthy Son of God, to betray him. It's horrible. Lord Jesus said to those men of Emmaus, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself and said unto them, Thus it is written. And that's what you see also in the Psalms. For example, in Psalm 41. In Psalm 41, verse 9, I see this. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. So the Lord Jesus, he told the men of Emmaus about Psalm 41, verse 9, and so many other pieces in the Bible. It had to happen. It was determined. That's what I read in Acts 2. It's not just a single verse. Many verses. Acts 2, him being delivered. Delivered? Lord Jesus delivered by whom? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken, and by wicked men, wicked hands have crucified and slain your wicked men, but he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The Lord reigneth. Everything in his plan. Everything is folded into his plan. Even horrible sins like this. Or a sin like the sin of David. Also horrible, but was yet folded into God's plan. I don't understand it. You don't either. Amos 3 verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord has not done it? The most evil things, I don't understand it. It might even hurt some people this morning. But even the most evil things, God's foreknowledge, and God's determined counsel. There is a plan. And keep in mind this, in case you just feel, what in the world? Who are we? Can God do with you and with me what he desires or not? Does the Lord first have to ask permission? Are we innocent victims? You're not. As long as you feel an innocent victim, you rebel. But if you may see God's freedom and God's sovereignty and our sinfulness, nothing to say anymore. I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Or Acts 4. Acts 4, that's also very instructive. Acts 4, 27, 28. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So it was Herod doing it, and Pontius Pilate doing it, and the Gentiles doing it, and the people of Israel doing it. They're all gathered together against Jesus to do whatsoever the hand of God and his counsel determined before to be done. You know, I read in Revelation 13, verse 8, that God was prepared in eternity for evil. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And now maybe you say, this is an awful thing. This is so difficult. This is something I don't like. You know what this is? Let me tell you something about this. This is love. This is God's love. What is God's love? The Lord Jesus had to die. That he had to be betrayed. That he had to be captured. That he had to be judged. It's God's love. If it's only Pontius Pilate doing it, and the people of Israel, and the soldiers, and if God was not involved in this, there was no salvation. There was no salvation. But he gave his only begotten Son into this world to such things as to being betrayed. He did that to his own Son to save people. So be careful with not agreeing with this. I can't absorb this. I can't believe this. I cannot accept this. Be careful with saying that, because then you throw a lot out of the window. And yet you feel it, God's sovereignty, right? Because Satan also tried to sift Peter as the wheat. And that same Peter said, I won't do that. And the Lord said, behind me, Satan. And the Lord Jesus had prayed for the Apostle Peter that his faith would not fail. And the Lord let Judas go and do his work. I just don't understand it. But I bow my head and say, Lord, thy will be done. So God's decree, God's counsel, it had to be this way. It had to be this way and not any other way. It's a most despicable sin to betray Jesus with a kiss. But for money. He loved money. He was a thief. There are no words for that. But it had to happen. And I see behind this the hand of God. Let's go to the second thought. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. We can't say poor Judas. He was just messed up by Satan. Poor man, a victim to Satan. No, he wasn't. He was a sinner. He was a thief. It was his own will. We have no free will to do the good things. But we have a free will to do the bad things. And he decided this. He consciously, willingly, it was his responsibility. Or be careful with the word responsibility. The meaning of the word has changed. It does not mean we are able to do it good. That's not what it means anymore. But we have a responsibility. We are accountable. You know, Judas, he was so close to Jesus. He heard his sermons firsthand, saw him, witnessed hundreds of miracles, and probably did a few himself as well. He was present at the Lord's supper table. He ate the bread and drank the wine. In the past, he commented that the money should have been given to the poor. But you know, he had no new heart. And he was still dead in sin. And he sinned against better knowledge, betraying. You don't do this to anyone. You don't do this to a friend. You don't do this to your wife, to your husband. You don't do this to your master. You don't do this to the Son of God. Or I read something else in Mark 14. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it's written of him. As it's written, it goes as it's written. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. Think about that sentence. Good for that man. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. He had a good life. And sometimes you hear people saying that. You know, when people are dying in their 80s, 90s, he had a good life. No much suffering, he didn't lose children, and he did well in business, and he has been healthy for a long time, and he has traveled a lot, and had a good life, very good life, much to be thankful for. I tell you something, if after that good life, that perfect life, it's never perfect, but suppose it would be perfect, and if then you be lost, it would have been better if you were never born. You think of eternity. You think of hell. You think of unquenchable fire. You think of gnawing your tongue. You think of feeling sorry for yourself and that grieving and that impossibility of any changes. And being ridiculed by Satan and being so lonely, it would have been better if you were never born. You had a good life, and yet, compared to what's coming after. So we believe in election as well, right? We believe in predestination. We believe that God has chosen a people in his determined counsel from eternity to save them and only them and to leave others in their common misery that they plunge themselves into. We believe in that sovereignty of the Lord, in a election and a rejection. So let us talk about them, not chosen. Same is true for them. Woe unto that man that does not repent. And woe is unto that man that does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Completely, 100% responsible. You know, why do some people go to heaven? They have been chosen. Been chosen by God's free counsel. The Lord made a difference. There was no difference. That's why some people, a multitude, by the way, goes to heaven, because all it was God's choice, God's will. And why are others in hell? That's their will. That's their fault. Truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. May the Lord bring to that place this morning. Unconverted friends. You don't say, well, it's not given to me. I pray for it. I can't help it. If the Lord would not give it to me and pass me by. It doesn't make any sense in the Bible to say that. You are not a victim. You are not as the poor man the Lord has not chosen. Woe unto you, betraying the Lord Jesus. Woe unto us if we don't believe in the Savior and love our money and farm and family and children and whatever it is over Jesus. That's our fault. May the Lord prick many in the heart this morning, Lord. Believing that God's children are saved only by grace and only by God's choice. And that I'm in my sin because I have chosen to. You have 0% reason to defend yourself. But ye did not want. Every man shall bear his own burden. Think of eternity. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. At his funeral they say all the best good things of him. You're such a good father and such a good grandfather and such a good grandmother and such a good this and that. It was a good life. You know what? If that person dies unconverted, it's all in vain. It would have been better if he had never been born. I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And why do we hear this morning? To be heard? To feel some pain? But do I want to afflict pain this morning and just make you upset? Or is it that I would like to have the truth to be in the church? Is that my focal point? There's truth? Just we agree on this? Together on this? That's not the purpose. At least not the main purpose. The main purpose is that sin is to repent this morning. You say, Lord, the only reason why I am unconverted is my own evil will. Take responsibility. Bring it to the Lord. It's the Lord's purpose to save people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was also tempted. He was tempted by Satan as well, right, in the wilderness. If he would bow before him, if he would make those from those stones bread, and the Lord Jesus resisted. He resisted all those temptations. He could, and he did. And because he could and he did as the perfect man, he can save a people from their sins. You know, let me compare two texts in the Bible about David. Remember David, that he had a desire in his heart to count the people? To have a census, he would like to see how powerful he was. This pride, this plain pride. How many people are in my country? Two texts about that, and they kind of both look at it from a different side. I read in 2 Samuel 24, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. The anger of the Lord kindled against Israel. He moved, God moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah, God. And I read in 1 Chronicles 21, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So one text says the Lord moved him. Another text says Satan moved him. It's both true. God allowed Satan to do it. Because it's all in God's determinate counsel. And yet, woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. You know, Satan is dumb. In a way, he's very smart and cunning. But he's dumb also because there's this suicide for him. Right? Suicide for Satan. He is digging his own grave by letting Judas betray Jesus. We would say Satan thinks this is going the wrong direction because he's going to conquer this way. In a way, he's dumb. In a way, he's insane. And he makes people insane as well. Because there is insanity in the hearts anyway. And he makes people so dumb and so foolish. And he says, enjoy. Enjoy life, enjoy your sins, and enjoy what you love ever like. He's such a liar. And he makes it so unreasonable, so foolish. Don't believe him. Young friends, Satan tries to lure you into things. And he says, come on, it's not too bad. You will like it. You will love it. And you do it, and he laughs at you. He says, now I have you. I got you. Now you're beyond your hope. You can't be saved anymore. He's a betrayer. He still tries to betray people. He still tries to confuse young people. And be on your guard. resist him. So Satan is involved quite a bit. Let us go to the last thought. Verse 23. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. See the disciples sitting around the table, Judas included. Who's going to do this? One of us betraying him? Really? Who would that be? They had no idea who would do that. They didn't say, oh, now I get it. That must be Judas. Of course. No. But there was nothing obvious. He blended in with the vow perfectly. They could not single him out at all. And they were also humble enough to say, according to another gospel, is it I? So see, congregation, why is this in the Bible? To show God's determined counsel. To show our responsibility. Also to caution us. It might be you. Let me fill in a few gaps and quote a few more texts in the Bible regarding this. From Matthew, from John. Matthew 26. The Lord Jesus said, one of you will betray him. And they were exceeding sorrowful. Exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Even Judas said, is it I? And they're exceeding sorrowful. So the Lord Jesus did not only always make his audience happy. You should not expect from a sermon that always should only lift you up. They were exceeding sorrowful. It's sometimes good to leave the church that way. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him. See, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. We saw that already. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Judas. Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. The others didn't hear it, I gather. But Lord Jesus said, thou hast said it. Yes, it's you. And yet, Lord Jesus kind of warned him and was open to him. He yet did his own thing. Or from John 13, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, as John, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto the Lord, who is it? John asked, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Did John see it? Understand it? And after the sop, Satan entered into him again. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. the Lord Jesus. He said, Judas, do it. Quickly, do it. But the willingness of Jesus to be betrayed and to suffer, to save the people from their sins, I have the privilege to preach you that Savior who said, do it. Not my will, but thy will be done. Now no man at the table, still John 13, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had a bag, that Jesus had said unto him by those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, Judas received a piece of bread, sopped into the sauce, received it. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. See, Judas leaving. Immediately. Jesus kind of sent him away. I see the hand of God, the determined counsel of God. And I also see this disciple fully responsible and the others trembling. And it was night. It was night. And he would betray him with a kiss. He would go straight to the Sanhedrin and say, this night, we have that opportunity. Oh, what a love of God. What a love of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a warning for us. Is it I? Search your heart. You've only one life. And if you die unprepared, it doesn't matter how good your life has been, it would have been better if you were not born. He that thinketh, he standeth. Take heed, lest he fall. Or let me quote also from James 4, about the devil. Because he's after us. He wants to disturb and to destroy us. But he giveth more grace, therefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. You hear that tonight, this morning? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. See, that's kind of an application. The Lord warning us of the most despicable sin. The worst sin I can think of. But it was embedded in God's providence. And something good came out of it, right? Something really good came out of this. Out of something so horrible. Something so good. The result was the Lord Jesus betrayed and delivered and killed, crucified. Glory to God. that he can do anything. And that all things must work together for good for them that are called. Congregation, don't let Satan have you and keep you. Seek the Lord before it is too late. Because it won't be pretty if you come to the end of your good life and if everything is lost. Betrayed by Satan who told you, well, you go to church. You are holding on to the truth. And you don't steal anything. And you are sound in doctrine. And you are behaving well. And you go to the Lord's Supper. And you have the children baptized. You did all the good things. And then at the end, it's all gone. Better if you would not have been born. Oh, see then that love of God in this chapter. And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. Glory to God. Nothing happening by chance. The Lord reigneth. Amen. Almighty, most sovereign God, what shall we say? God, free and good and wise and almighty and not taken by surprise. Thou art the God knowing what God is doing. Now, Lord, we beseech thee, may we be reconciled with thee. And may we come to our senses before it is too late. And keep us from being betrayed by Satan. He betrayed Adam and Eve. He wants to betray us as well. And we are, in a sense, betrayers than ourselves. But Lord, we ask thee, make us upright. Make us true within. Graciously forgive our sins and also them fearing that they have deceived themselves. Lord, yet show them thy mercy as the Apostle Paul also deceived himself for many years and yet was converted. Be with us as it is day. In Jesus' name, amen.